This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on FATF, Fight Against Terror Financing. The participants are Shashank, former Foreign Secretary, and Neelab Srivastav, journalist.
We are today speaking of the issue of terrorist financing. We have seen in the recent past, there is a global body which is called the Financial Action Task Force. This is a Paris-headquartered body established in 1989. All the global economic powers, large countries, even smaller ones, are its member. India also joined it in 2010. Role of the FATF as a global body is to regulate the terrorist financing and anti-money laundering procedures. With the advent of new technology, cryptocurrency, this has become a very focused area. We speak here on multi-faceted approach that India has also undertaken vis-a-vis the issue of terrorist financing. We all know that very recently the FATF in its recent report also mentioned and condemned the Pahalgam attack. That was a very cowardly attack where 26 tourists in Jammu and Kashmir were killed by Pakistan-sponsored terrorists. And we know that India has declared a zero tolerance towards terror financing, money laundering. Ambassador Shashank, we would want to understand first, for the benefit of our listeners, why is terrorist financing, its global order, and bodies like FATF important? Why is it important to be FATF compliant?
There has been a constant consideration at the international level about the various tax havens and how they could be used for various unlawful activities. So it was some time ago, before the FATF came into force, that OECD had taken a decision that there will be a special watch would be kept on the tax havens, so that these places are not used for unlawful activities. Now, gradually, it was felt that one should concentrate more on the issues which affect the ordinary life of the people and also affect the governance systems in countries. And that is how this 1989 FATF task force was set up, or the initiative of G7. And India joined it a little later, but I think India had been cooperating with them, trying to follow the guidelines and the various measures, capacity building exercises, etc., which were laid down by the FATF. Because India has been, for a very long time, suffering under the terrorist activities. And initially, it was seen more as a bilateral affair between India and Pakistan, to be taken care of by improving relations between the two countries. However, when the terrorist actions took place in developed countries, and 9/11 in New York, and so many other in London, in Spain, later on in Moscow. So I think then there was a feeling that really one should really go all out. And this idea of the grey listing of countries whereby they could be helped to strengthen their arrangements to ensure that there is no terrorist financing or anti-money laundering actions are strengthened. The second part was that there was also this old discontents of countries like, let's say, China, which felt that they had fought the opium wars with the old colonizers, and India was being used at that time against Chinese interests, and opium wars were fought. So therefore, there have been a constant flow of new drugs into the developed countries. Let's say USA has now come out very strongly against its own neighbors like Mexico and Canada, that they have become the direct route for transferring fentanyl into US markets, which has been produced by China. And recently only, I think a couple of days ago, or maybe yesterday, in Arizona, they arrested some Khalistani who was acting on behalf of the ISI, China, Canada nexus to carry out fentanyl drugs into USA. I think all these things have been noticed. Therefore, this FATF has become important. India has become an important partner of FATF. India produces its reports and regularly shares them with the FATF. And as you said, that India also tries to coordinate all its activities internally as well as with the external countries who are members of FATF to strengthen the regulations against these unlawful and illegal activities, so that activities like Pahalgam cannot take place in future.
As you mentioned about the importance of FATF, it has grown as a very important platform when it comes to combating international money laundering and combating the financing of terrorism. I would like to inform our listeners, the FATF also brought out a mutual evaluation report for India last year in 2024. And India fared very highly. It was placed in the highest category of compliance of the recommendations, the 40 recommendations that FATF has made. There are very few countries in this elite club, including the US and few other countries. Ambassador, I would again come back to you to ask about these new kind of words that were earlier in the proliferation days, but the sanctions vis-a-vis terrorist financing, the grey listing, or the jurisdictions that have to be watched out for. So why would some country like India, which is affected by terrorism from its immediate neighbors, apart from other places, is concerned about ensuring that jurisdictions that need to be checked should be condemned by the global or should be identified by the global community? And why should any country which is in the realm of these categorizations be trying to improve? Is it something to do with its daily kind of an affair? Is it something to do with its economy? Someone who is brought under a grey list, how does that affect a particular country?
For example, if we look at the specific case of Pakistan, which was put in the grey list, then Pakistan found it difficult to get loans from World Bank and other international organizations. And even the bilateral donors had to make sure that the loans which were given bilaterally to Pakistan were used very carefully, not for any illegal activity which could be taken advantage of by what it calls the non-state actors. Though India knows that many of these non-state actors are nurtured, trained and supported by the Pakistani authorities. But still, the point was that in grey listing Pakistan, I think there were a lot of controls which they had to exercise. But they found gradually how to hoodwink the whole process, and they were able to get out of the grey list. They also used their political support from countries like Turkey and Malaysia and many others, China also. And so they were able to get out of the FATF grey listing. But I think now India has started giving more detailed reports. And while Pakistan has tried to keep away from the grey listing, but I think the very activities that it has been indulging in, it's moving very, very close to a dangerous area where the bilateral assistance and the international assistance may get curbed a little bit under the FATF provisions. What Pakistan is trying to take advantage is carrying out the terrorist activities in countries like India, and at the same time use its potential partnership with the developed countries, whether USA or on the other side, even with China, and have partnerships like with Turkey, etc., and buying their military equipment and use their Islamic context by offering left and right, you know, their Islamic weapons to other countries. So I think they have been using all that to get the political support and get away from the grey listing. So I think what India is now trying to see that there should be zero tolerance towards this terrorist activities, and should be given as much importance as is given to drug trafficking and money laundering by non-state actors.
In 2022, the Prime Minister has also spoken on the issue when India hosted the third ministerial conference on countering financing of terrorism.
Tourism or trade, nobody likes an area that is constantly under threat. And due to this, the livelihoods of people are taken away. It is all the more important that we strike at the root of terror financing. Friends, in today's world, ideally, there should be no need for anyone to remind the world of the dangers of terrorism. However, there are still certain mistaken notions about terrorism in some circles. The intensity of the reaction to different attacks cannot vary based on where it happened. All terrorist attacks deserve equal outrage and action.
There has been the concern of getting fuel to the terrorists by way of finance, by way of money, by way of illicit funds has always been there, whether it is terrorists or terrorist syndicates, outfits. But with the advent of technology, now in the age of dark web, in the age of virtual digital assets, cryptocurrencies, Ambassador, I would like to understand how come there are some experts who say that the world is now a global village where everyone is transacting on a platform, and digital transactions obviously have no boundaries, the tax haven nations, as you had mentioned. So with the advent of these new technologies of concealed financing, how do you see the global order emerging out?
This is a very new area for international cooperation, that new technologies which were seen as improving the connectivity among countries, improving the transfer of finances to other countries for payments and for lawful activities. I think they are being used by these countries, by many countries and by many unscrupulous non-state actors to carry out their financing for whether for drugs, for money laundering, for small arms being changed, for all kinds of activities, and also being used by several of the state agencies to carry out their own promotion of terrorist activities, like in the case of Pakistan. Now, for example, in Pakistan, simple cases of crowdfunding. So they carry out many of these terrorist groups. They also help in reducing poverty, in helping during the earthquakes, in flooding, etc. So they try to have crowdfunding from ordinary people, poor people, and then show their activities as being supportive of the social welfare of the people. But on the other hand, they use most of this money for terrorist activities. The same way as in Pakistan's case, we found that whatever money they get, so long as they were under control to monitor their expenditure pattern, now that they are out of the grey list, they can very well borrow money for legal activities, for promotion of infrastructure, building, etc., and then use it for activities which are really harmful to neighboring countries. There are these kind of issues. The dark web, you have mentioned, the games which are being played online, and people are being given money left and right and this money and these people are being used to, let's say, even for religious conversion or for taking them on their roles to transfer information which will be harmful to interests of a country like India.
As a diplomat, I would like to understand from you, how easy or difficult is it to initiate coordination amongst various nations on subjects like these, terror financing, countering money laundering? These are crimes which are borderless. And when I ask you this question, it comes into context that as diplomats, you have to interact and share the table with a country which is very powerful. And there are some countries which are absolutely unconcerned to the ill effects of terrorism, because in certain cases, the illicit funds are absolutely running their economy. So how do you see, Ambassador, affecting a global coordination on these subjects? Has the world really awakened to this challenge of terrorist financing across the globe?
Well, as diplomats, we have to keep in mind that we must strengthen the exchange of information among the countries on various activities which may be illegal. For example, we have set up counter-terrorism consultation mechanisms with a very large number of countries, which is more a question of both transferring information to each other, trying to strengthen the capacities to monitor these activities by these various countries. And it has been appreciated by many of our partners that the information which was given by India, which was very, very relevant to their own security requirements. But we know that at the same time, many developed countries have their other concerns. They are not bothered about the concerns felt by developing countries. Therefore, that has been one of the issues why India has very keenly promoted membership of the developing countries, the Global South, in the various groups like G20 and the others, and also taking partnership in organizations like Shanghai Cooperation Organization, where we know that Pakistan is also a member. But at the same time, this organization was set up with a few of the prime objectives. So one of them was, of course, the anti-terrorism. The other one was, of course, extremism in all forms. But I think, therefore, India is participating in many of these consultations. We are members of Quad, which is not really on basis of military activities alone, but also to ensure that there is a transfer of information and partnership with countries like USA, Japan, and Australia for the Asia-Pacific region. Similarly, we have coordination with the BRICS, where we know that many new emerging economies are trying to join them, because they are also suffering from the same thing. They feel that partnership with a country like India would be of great help to them. So there are these bilateral counter-terrorism action groups, which we have set up individually with individual countries. And secondly, we have these partnerships at the sub-regional or regional or interregional levels. Right. I think that has been helping us very much.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on FATF, Fight Against Terror Financing. The participants were Shashank, former Foreign Secretary, and Neelab Srivastav, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.